Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Alarmy. Check out Alarmist on Patreon for ad-free episodes and bonus content. Here's a preview of our Guest Alarmist series, only on Patreon.
Yeah. Let's all go to the bathroom before we get in the car.
Right. Before Don't we rob the bank, anything. Is everyone good? Black
yeah.
is empty.
Does everyone have their mask?
Yeah. Don't you know drink what? Any water before.
Honestly, you that's on it. You guys because you didn't maybe check. Has everyone? Are we?
Has everyone gone potty?
Yeah.
Matt, you go potty? No. Well, maybe you should go potty.
No wonder you guys weren't invited to the Easter
yeah,
party.
Exactly.
No potty checks.
Go to patreon.com/thealarmist and subscribe today. Now, on to our episode. Each week, we decide who's to blame for a historical tragedy. And each week, you tell us if we got it right. My name is Rebecca Delgado-Smith, and this is The Aftermath. The Aftermath. Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into this episode of The Aftermath. Today we're speaking with guest expert, Dr. Nancy Lowe. Dr. Lowe is a professor at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and the founding director of the Sports Innovation Institute. Dr. Lowe specializes in sports marketing and sponsorship, the development of women leaders, and improving gender equity and diversity in sports. Let's hear what she has to say about the U.S. women's national soccer team pay disparity. Hi, Dr. Lowe. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Rebecca. Nice to be here.
So can you start off by giving us a little background on women's soccer? When did women first enter the World Cup, and how has the sport grown since the 90s?
Well, it's interesting that I think for a lot of people, especially today, they might not necessarily remember the history of our U.S. women's national team and how phenomenal they were. For me, the real awareness of the U.S. women's national team started in 1995, which is a team that a lot of people would potentially have recognized because of the players that made it to the 99 World Cup and won the World Cup here on U.S. soil in 99. You know, the Mia Hamm, the Michelle Akers. And that period of time was really super important as far as 1995, because that was when Nike actually sponsored the team to go on a world tour and to compete globally to get ready for the World Cup. And this is an investment that, you know, just had never happened before for the U.S. women's national team. So one of the reasons that I'm aware of that is because that was the beginning of me studying sponsorship of women's sport. And at that period of time, there was very, very little sponsorship of women's sport. And, you know, this move by Nike was unprecedented. And, you know, what's really important to note about that is what came after, right? So right after that, when we held the 99 World Cup here on U.S. soil, many, many, many people said, you know, you won't be able to fill stadiums. Lots of sponsors said no to sponsoring the games and, or I'm sorry, FIFA. And ironically, what happened was not at all what anyone expected. They sold out venues of 100,000. The sponsors that did commit saw huge returns on investment because they were the brave ones, right? The courageous ones that were willing to invest in something that the rest of the sport world said was not going to be worth investing in. And, you know, the trajectory from there has been kind of an undulation of kind of like the Olympic Games, like every 4 years with FIFA, there's this rising awareness and then it sort of, you know, dwindles and then it comes back every 4 years with, you know, FIFA and the World Cup. But having said that, the U.S. women's national team has been, you know, the standard bearer for women's soccer across the world. So clearly, you know, we've won multiple world championships now, despite the last world championship, the last FIFA World Cup. But in all of that time, what has happened is the growing awareness of the athletes, the growing awareness of the excitement of the game, and the growing awareness that women's sport is a great investment. It's a great opportunity for businesses to really make a mark. And that's something that we're finally seeing, not just in women's soccer. It is happening globally in women's soccer, but also now with women's basketball and so many other women's sports, we're starting to see what I hope and I believe will finally be a tipping point of a real much broader movement, not that undulating wave of attention. And then, you know, everything kind of goes away for a period of time and then comes back. I think we're actually to a tipping point right now.
And by 2015, the team was extremely popular. Who were some of the main players and how, I mean, we read somewhere that, you know, their jerseys were the highest sold in the entire world. How extreme was their popularity?
Well, you know, the part that's so interesting is, you know, there are memorable names like Abby Wambach and Hope Solo. And, you know, this is a period of time when the team was also getting awareness for having sued their national governing body, right? And in some ways, some of the attention was because of what some might see as negative publicity, right? When you sue your employer, basically, and that is getting more and more awareness. There's some folks who might be on, let's say, a negative side perception, like, why are these women raising so much trouble when, you know, they're the best in the world? And the reality is they have never been paid what they're worth and what they generate for the U.S. women, or the U.S. national team, the governing body. But also, you know, internationally, FIFA is well documented as having ignored women's soccer for the longest time, right? The last FIFA World Cup was the first time that FIFA stepped up and paid them a little bit closer to what they deserve. But, you know, Abby Wambach for sure became a household name. And she really carried that banner for the 2015 team. One of the things you have to remember that has really plagued the development of women's sport broadly, including women's soccer, is that the media attention has been just, it's been so poor and missing to such a degree that we often in the space I work in research, we say the value of women's sport has been suppressed. So, you know, we have documented that 4% of media coverage goes to women's sport, which basically means you don't hear about it. 96% of media coverage goes to men's sport. So, you know, the people that know Abby Wambach is because they did, in fact, you know, make her a star. She should have been. She deserved it. She, you know, was scoring all the goals. But she should have been an even bigger star, right? If any of the money that, like 50% of the money that was paid, that was invested in men's soccer or male athletes was invested in women's soccer or women athletes, they would even be, they'd be far bigger celebrities and recognizable stars easily, right? We're finally starting to see more media coverage in the way that we're seeing them on ESPN, we're seeing them on major networks. We've well documented in our research that fans of women's sport have had to become adept at finding the sports they want to follow, right? And so we have a very, very loyal and community-based fan base for women's sport, whether it's basketball or soccer or pick your sport. But the reality is, if it's only going to grow, because those people are loyal fans. They've had to find it for years. And now that people are getting, you know, on the bandwagon to some degree, it's easier to find. You know, you might just randomly turn on ESPN and, oh, look, there's a NWSL game, and start watching women's soccer, which was just not happening for years and years and years, right? The good thing about the U.S. women's national team is that they did get media coverage. They would get it through the Olympics. They would get it through FIFA, but not anything on par with what the men would get. Nowhere close. I mean, think about that. How can we become aware of something that we only hear about 4% of the time? Scholars like me, researchers, we pointed to the media for years and years and years, because not only does that not create awareness, it obviously generates interest for the other side, for men's sport, which then generates investment. You know, the reason that brands invest in sport is because they want a return on their investment. They want to build their brand through that sport. Well, you can't build your brand through a sport that gets 4% of the media coverage, right? So it's kind of been this chicken and egg situation for years and years and years. I think we're finally getting out of that cycle. But it's taken stars like Abby Wambach and others, Megan Rapinoe, the folks that people know, the names that they know, and it's taken tremendous success. It's taken world championship after world championship to get the media attention they deserve.
Now, can you help us understand how sponsorships work? How do these athletes just make money off of them?
Sure. So there's two different things that we're really referring to when we talk about sponsorship. One is the big brands like the Coca-Colas, the McDonald's, the big brands you think of, the Visas, who invest in the Olympic Games, for example, right? When they are a sponsor of the Olympic Games, in this case, I'm talking about the international sponsor. So you will see them for anything that has the International Olympic Committee behind it. So global awareness and big, big, big investment. Clearly, they're trying to drive their brand, not just, you know, in the U.S., but around the world. So those are big, big brands that invest huge amounts of money to be official sponsors. And with that comes a lot of benefits for the brand. But it also creates a lot of benefits for the sport property. So in this case, the International Olympic Committee, right? So it's a win-win, really, when it's done right. That's how sponsorship works. On the athlete side, it's more what we refer to as endorsements. But in essence, you know, a brand will pay an athlete a certain amount of money to represent the brand. Probably some of the most visible right now is, you know, if you can't go a day without seeing a State Farm commercial that has athletes in it, right? Whether it's all the NBA athletes, a couple of WNBA athletes, certainly Mahomes and a lot of NFL players. But you know, in that case, State Farm is paying for the athlete's name, image, likeness, right? Very much like college athletics. And they're trying to do what we call image transfer, which is if I like Caitlin Clark, maybe I'll like State Farm. Or if I think she's a winner, she's a champion, then maybe I'll think State Farm is also, you know, a very high quality insurance company. So, you know, in the case of athletes, it's a lot about who they are, what they're about. The same is true of sport properties, but, you know, it's really what is the company trying to achieve in their own business objectives and how can they achieve that by aligning with either an athlete or a sporting event or sport property.
Now, the U.S. the U.S. Soccer Federation tried to discriminate against the team, especially during the collective bargaining agreement that they tried to make in 2017, even before the issue was taken to the courts. And later on, they one of their defenses was that the women's team, or many of the players, actually made more than the men. But that, of course, was refuted because it had more to do with the amount of games that they had played and the sponsorships. How do you see how is it that they could take such disparity and even try to defend that?
That's I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. If you just sit back, right, and you look at the number of games that the women had to play in order to get to an equivalent amount of money, and if you factor in the amount of wins that the women had relative to the amount of wins that the male athletes had, you would just scratch your head like, this is making no sense to me. The reality is, it's sexism, plain and simple. Now, in this case, some of it has to do with FIFA, the international governing body. A lot of it has to do with FIFA. So, you know, as an international governing body, it is a male-oriented sport. Soccer is a very old sport with very old entrenched values and ways of thinking. It's also international. So as you know, views towards women are very different in various countries, right? So we have international representation. And so very simply, the way that the governing body internationally has viewed women's soccer is very reluctant to even include them. They certainly have not treated women anywhere close to equitably. And so what that means is, you know, for the men's team, they could win one match at a low level and make significantly more money than our women's team makes for the entire World Cup. Now, where does that money come from? It comes from sponsors, right? And so over decades and decades, the governing body of FIFA has been increasing the number of sponsors, the value of sponsorship. So, you know, we're talking about billions of dollars that are invested into FIFA. But the argument they would make is that's for men's soccer. That's not for women's, right? Mm. And so this is one of the situations that has shifted as the value and the attention and interest has risen with women's sport, whether it's women's soccer or any other sport. The national governing bodies have basically been forced into recognizing, hey, there's value here. We're kind of leaving money on the table. And we need to treat women better. And as they've treated women better, that value has increased. It's not because they've done a tremendous job of investing more in women or treating women better. You know, some of the things that women, especially internationally, complain about is the type of travel that they are given. The accommodations that they're given are far, far, far inferior to what their male athletes are provided, right? Depending on country and so forth. But, you know, it's one of those situations where women have had to basically prove their worth, right? And the way that you prove your worth is through increased audiences, increased ticket sales, right? And once the stadium starts selling out and the interest is there, then the media can't ignore it anymore. Then the media gets on board. When the media gets on board, it's a self-sustaining cycle, where the media is super important. It's incredibly important. We've just watched it, you know, with this Women's March Madness tournament, that the more press and media that Caitlin Clark got, the more incredible records that she broke, and she, you know, kept breaking more and more records, the more awareness there was, the more people are jumping on the bandwagon, and so on and so forth. So it's not that the sexism has changed, because it's still there. It's just that some of the folks that are in power are honestly not able to refute and not able to maintain the narrative that no one's interested in women's sport, that no one wants to invest in women's sport, all of those sorts of things, that those narratives have gone by the wayside.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Now, do you see a lack of female leadership in sports on an executive level? And how does that affect visibility?
Yeah, that's a great question. So again, you go back to the research, and if you look at like, who are the sport editors, right? Who are the gatekeepers in media? It's predominantly men. It's been really, really difficult for women in sport media to get into a position of influence and power. That is changing. We got a couple of really powerful women sport writers in Nancy Armour and Christine Brennan at USA Today. People really listen to them, and you know, they'll have them on CNN and other television shows to talk about, you know, what's going on with women's sport. People knew Robin Roberts as a sportscaster. She developed quite a lot of celebrity. Now we have more and more women that are rising to that. On the executive side, it's interesting. We are seeing more and more women rise to higher levels in like sport organizations, as well as sponsorship, you know, the kind of organizations that make decisions. And in some cases, like for example, Ally Financial, that as a financial company has some women at the leadership level that are forcing others to pay attention to the inequities that are so prevalent in sponsorship. So Ally as a company has committed to spend 50% of their sponsorship budget on women's sport. They're like, let's just do this right. Because right now it's usually less than 10% of the sponsorship dollars that are spent by sponsors on women's sport. So they're really trying to change the game and kind of have issued that challenge to other sponsors and brands. And it's getting some traction because, you know, it's good business right now to invest in women's sport. And that's ultimately what has to happen. So it is changing. Here in Las Vegas, the president of our NFL team, the Raiders, is actually Sandra Douglas Morgan. She's the first Black female president of an NFL team. And our WNBA aces is predominantly females at the leadership levels, from the president to the COO on down to the GM, you know, all women, which of course that is a women's team. But that's a great example too. You know, Angel City, we've seen in the NWSL, we've seen the teams that have women leaders do things differently and create new models and stop emulating what's been done forever. And it's just kind of considered the way to do things. So as we get more women into those leadership positions, we will see new strategies and innovation. We're already seeing it. You know, women, we know, lead differently. We also have data that shows that women have better financial performance when they are at the helm of companies, whether that's sport or other types of companies. The data is really positive on women as leaders. And increasingly, you know, those doors are starting to open. But you have to make no mistake, sport is a male-dominated industry. it is an industry where men, from fans to brands to leaders, will push against having women in prominent and influential roles. All we have to do is look at social media. And when a woman does something amazing as an athlete, you'll see the trolls go for days, you know, making fun of her and trying to do things to diminish what that woman just accomplished, right? So that's just not something men have ever had to deal with. Nobody questions men being involved in sport. Nobody questions their athleticism or just questions them in general, right? So it has been a fight for a long, long time for women that wanted to work in the industry. It has been, these are some women that are really tough, I would say from sort of an emotional resilience standpoint, but they're also phenomenal leaders that are going to make some real impacts in the industry.
Where do you see women's sport going and growing? Is there hope that equity can be achieved? What does a sustained, healthy market for women's soccer and women's sport look like?
That's a great question. It's really, what are we working for? And I think equity is one thing, equality is another. In so many ways, sport is really a microcosm of larger society. So if we talk about pay equity, we're talking about just, you know, how few women are paid equal or even close to what men are paid in any profession. Name a profession, doesn't matter, right? But in sport, it's so visible and people really pay attention to sport. And then when we raise issues through sport, it's hard to ignore. So if we put the salaries of a WNBA player up against an NBA player, like people are saying, well, this is ludicrous. You can't even begin to compare because of course the men make multi-millions of dollars and the women are lucky if they could get close to a million, right? The reality is the men's league is 75 years older than the women's. So they've had a lot of years to get all of that, all of the business aspect lined up and to get all of the awareness, all of the media, all of that lined up. So I am hopeful that it's not going to take another 50 years. You know, we celebrated the anniversary of Title IX in 2022. And this has definitely been post Title IX. We're starting to see some real traction and what a lot of us are calling a movement, not a moment. The media wants to call it a moment because that's what they usually do. They raise it to our awareness for a moment in time and then they let us, you know, forget about it by just putting all their emphasis on other things. But it's a movement. And some of the indicators that it is a movement are when you see little boys in Caitlin Clark jerseys, right? Or Megan Rapinoe jerseys. When you see, you know, this, people stop talking about the only people watching women's sport are women or girls. That's not true. 50% of women's sport fans generally and globally are men, right? So it's important for people to understand sport is sport and fans recognize quality sport. One of the reasons people watch women's college basketball, we just finished that season, so it's top of mind for me, is because it's true to the game that most people played. There's very few people that are truly capable of a dunk. There just aren't that many of us in the world, right? And so, yes, we might enjoy watching a 7'4" guy dunk the basketball. That's great. But most real basketball fans appreciate the game that the WNBA and the college women play because it's a team sport and they could appreciate the offense and the defense that they learned when they played the game, right? So it's different, even though, you know, we will always say the NBA is some of the best athletes in the world. It's a fascinating product. It's different. It is not the same, right? And we can say the same thing about probably any sport out there. There's something different. We're just now, if you can believe this, just now starting to realize that research on the female body relative to high performance in sport, honestly, research on the female body in general, hasn't been done, right? 8% of the research on like sport performance and recovery and all the things that have to do with being an athlete has been done on women, 8%. And that wow. just, that means female-based studies. So everything that we know, we've been generalizing, that we know about sport performance, we've been generalizing to women. For example, there wasn't until this year a soccer cleat that was made for a woman's foot. That wow. really matters. It really matters. Do you know how many ACL tears there are out there for women soccer players? Far more than there are for men, because a woman's hips are different, right? Because a woman's body is different. So, you know, we used to joke in the marketing space about pink it and shrink it. It's not a joke. It's true. What these companies have done, retail, shoes, you name it, is they just took whatever they made for men and they made it smaller, put pink on it and called it women's. Well, that's inappropriate, wow. right? We are a whole different system of our brain works different. Our hormones work different. We have all kinds of different things that happen during our lifetime. You know, and we're just now starting to get the research that's going to recognize that. So, you know, it's fascinating that for so long, women have been treated basically like little men, right? And same thing with regard to sport, like, oh, well, she can't possibly be as good as a guy because she's not a guy. Well, she can be as good as she can be, right? When you give her amazing coaching, when you give her time to develop over years and years, like you have boys to men, you're going to see some incredible athletes. It's just that simple. And that's what we're finally starting to see now is a whole generation of young girls that learn sport and were coached well and have practiced and honed their craft and now are going to compete at a level that people want to watch because they're fascinated.
Wow.
They're impressed, right? That's where we are.
Wow. Okay. So at the end of the day, we ask all of our guest experts this question. If you had to pick a person or thing, it could be a concept that you think is to blame for the pay disparity that occurred between within the U.S. women's national soccer team, who or what would that be?
Well, you can't blame just one person, but you certainly can look at the culture that remains entrenched in sexist mindset. You know, one of the lawsuits, the president of the U.S. Soccer Federation at the time literally alleged that women were biologically inferior. And, you know, the uprising after he did that was fast and furious. The reality is that argument dates back to the 1700s, the 1800s, the early 1900s, all the way up to probably 1990. I don't even know. There is still this view that women are an inferior human to men. And whether that's mentally, physiologically, physically, there is just that sexist mindset out there. And that's one of the reasons why sport is so very important, is you can't deny it. When you see it with your own eyes, when you see athletes that are phenomenal, that are female, that are performing, that are exciting, you can't deny it. And that's what it takes. It takes that kind of visual representation to help people change their mindsets. But having said that, what is so very important for people to understand also is cultural change by generation. So this current generation of little people, kids, they don't think like we do. The little boys see the little girls playing sport and they think, yeah, they should play flag football. They should do anything I should do. And I should cheer for them just like I cheer for my brothers. And that is an important, really critical cultural shift that we have to embrace and help those young people to continue to sustain those ideas instead of getting back to the entrenched ideas of boys are better than girls or you throw like a girl. Because guess what? Today, throwing like a girl might mean you can strike a guy out, right? It's not the same old as it used to be. And this new generation, they do think differently. They're experiencing a different world than the rest of our generations before them. So I'm hopeful that the sexist mindsets are changing and will continue to change with the new generations coming up.
Dr. Lowe, you've given us a lot to think about. I thank you so much for coming on the show and helping us understand this topic a little more.
It's my pleasure. I love talking about it. So thank you for the opportunity.
And we're going to head over to Patreon right now and discuss this further. If you'd like to hear our post-interview discussion and final verdict, head over to Patreon and subscribe. Your support is greatly appreciated.
Check out our show notes for a link or head over to patreon.com/thealarmist. And stay tuned, because next week we'll be discussing the Ramree Island Crocodile Massacre.
The Alarmist. Powered by Acast.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.